Kia ora, no mai ki te whare. Welcome to The House. I'm Johnny Blades. We all know that members of parliament have a job that comes with a great deal of pressure. It can be tough going, and as a result, sometimes MPs make mistakes, big mistakes that can cost not just their career, but the work they've done along the way too. It begs the question, are MPs able to access mental health support, pastoral care, or mentoring that can help them cope with the strain? This was one of the areas discussed last month by former Member of Parliament Grant Robertson on his last day as an MP when he sat down for an exit interview with Phil Smith.
And the caucus here, we've been talking about this a bit lately, that there is now a bit more resource available than there used to be, but it's still got limited funding. I mean, you know, there's still a limit to the amount of funding. I mean, I think I only latterly probably came to this myself, but I think at least having the ability for someone to have a counsellor or a coach or whatever term you want to use that you've got access to is really important. I can remember some Fridays when I was an electorate MP just being absolutely drained at the end of the day if I'd done a day's worth of constituency work. And that actually I'd often say to Alf when I got home, I just need some time to just get myself back. I don't think we necessarily provide the support that we should or the easy access to that. So we've been talking a bit more about that in our caucus, and I would definitely put more resource into that if you could.
That makes sense. It must be at times overwhelming in the workload, the time spent, the sense of responsibility, and also talking about electorate work, the kind of turmoil that you're coming up against.
It's a huge emotional toll. You know, you are dealing often with people's worst experiences, and there are MPs in the past who, in the face of that, have not coped and have done things that have actually really damaged their career, partly because they weren't coping with the mental toll of the job.
How did you cope yourself then with, I mean, because 15 years worth of this is a lot, right?
It is. One of the reasons in the 2023 election I didn't run in Wellington Central was because I was finding it hard to balance being a minister with the electorate work, because it's just, you know, so much. And I felt, even though I haven't been an electorate MP for 15 years, I was not feeling I was giving enough of it myself to it because of the Minister of Finance role so big. So, yeah, I think I had fantastic staff. That is the first thing. I mean, they just carried so much of the load for me, which was brilliant. But as I say, I just sometimes said it was only really latterly in my career that I began talking to somebody external just about, you know, how I was going. And I probably would have been good to have come to that resolution a bit earlier.
Now, for the first time, New Zealand has a Minister for Mental Health. The MP in that role is the National MP, Matt Ducey. He says finding a balance between workload and looking after oneself is a challenge not unique to Parliament.
I think, in a way, we're not too dissimilar to many workplaces that are grappling with the issues around well-being and better mental health. And because, you know, I'm of the age that I can remember, there was a time in workplaces where you were probably told to leave your personal issues at the door when you went to work, and people weren't interested in what was happening with your life outside of work. But now we see quite the opposite, where it is expected that there is a level of understanding around how we support people's well-being at work and maybe pressures they are facing, how we support them. And I think, in a way, for businesses as well, it's actually complementary, because what we do know is that if people are mentally well in the workplace, there's reduced absenteeism, reduced presenteeism, which is people at work but actually not performing. And so businesses can get better productivity out of it as well. So it's very complementary. And I think what we see in Parliament is a workplace that is grappling with this as well.
If an MP, say in your own party, feels they might need some support or feels they are in a bit of a moment, what do they do? Who do they turn to?
Yeah, well, it's really up to that MP. I mean, like people in other workplaces, they'll be deciding whether they want to confide in a work colleague, maybe a member of their family or friends as well. What we do have a system in New Zealand's Parliament is each party has a whip, or I think in the Green Party they call theirs a musterer. And for some people who don't know what a whip is, I was a senior whip in the National Party in opposition, sort of like an operational management job. You work with the individuals in your caucus like a team and help support them to understand where they need to deliver. But also there's a pastoral care side as well. And quite often either the whip or senior MPs can be supporting other MPs about issues they're facing. And then I think Parliament as a whole does very well as an organisation, provides members of Parliament, but also the hundreds if not of staff that work here as well with employee assistance program, EAPs, which are very big now in other workplaces where you can confidentially contact your EAP provider and receive some wellbeing or mental health support.
Meanwhile, Labor MP Deborah Russell says it's important for MPs to recognise their need to access support and for that support to be readily available within their own party.
Yes, I do think MPs need mentoring and mental health support. You know, it's really hard to admit that you might need a hand with your mental health. You're supposed to be tough. I suppose, you know, we're paid a high salary. We're supposed to just take what comes with the job. But the job is very stressful. So I think we could do with mental health support. Mentoring is good within a caucus, having someone you can go and talk to. We had it set up a little bit when I first came in. And we also set it up as each new class came in since. Doesn't always work perfectly, but we try to do it. But honestly, mentoring was good. But the other thing that has really helped me has been good friends within caucus. And I've had and still have good friends, people to debrief with. Yeah. That really helps.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it's a high-pressure job. I feel like MPs are maybe reluctant to say, hey, it's hard because, you know, you'll get... It's like the how much you're paid argument or things like that, or the number of MPs, but it's something that's not politic to talk about.
Yeah, I think what people don't quite see is the long hours we do in Wellington. A lot of people don't understand that we sit till 10 o'clock at night and we can't leave the precinct unless we've got formal leave to go. So, you know, a pretty standard Tuesday or Wednesday for me is getting here by about 7:30 in the morning and not leaving till 10 o'clock at night. Those are long and intense days. And the other thing that people don't realise is that we're in Wellington for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But then we go back and do the other part of our jobs back in our areas. So every MP I know works kind of 6 days a week and probably some of the seventh day as well. So it's long and intense hours. And sometimes the stuff we're dealing with is pretty horrible. We have constituents who come to us for help and who lean on us. And that's all within that, you know, that context, those long, long weeks. And we've got people leaning on us for support. And then, you know, we barely get to see our families.
And what about the Parliament system outside of the party? Are there avenues or mechanisms of support?
Yeah, we've got some of the standard avenues of support that many employees have, so access to counselling services if we need them. We have access to training support if we need it. We can maybe organise either through our caucus or through parliamentary services, I think, coaching support, so that's all quite helpful if you want to take it up.
Last year's independent report on culture in the New Zealand parliamentary workplace identified bullying as an issue. I asked Deborah Russell if bullying was a problem for MPs.
It can be. One is that we're in a high-pressure job, so the relationships with our staff can be quite tense at times. So I think as MPs, we have to be even more careful than most employers as to how we interact with our staff. But the other way that there can be pressure on MPs, it's the other way around, so pressure from colleagues or, and of course, you know, the way we do government in this country is oppositional. So we spend half our time in the debating chamber telling each other off. The odd thing is you can sort of be thoroughly sort of at each other in the House, but then have good friendships outside of it.
So do you feel like you've got more of a handle on how to manage the stresses and strains of being an MP?
You know, not really. I think that's partly because we've gone from being in government to being in opposition, so it's been a change. So there's a whole new way of being an MP to learn. I suppose there are some things I've gotten better at. So I've gotten better at making sure I take some time off to spend with my family. There's other silly things. Well, not silly things, they're good things. I take my knitting into caucus. Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice calming thing to do.
There's always a whole bunch of young MPs, fresh MPs coming through. Do you see them sort of struggling at all sometimes?
Oh, I've seen plenty of my colleagues, whether they're new or not, struggling at times. We all have our ups and downs or times when you just can't do it anymore, or when there's something else external happening and it just makes things worse. I think it's a huge shock for a lot of new MPs as they come in. It certainly was for me. It so helps to have a more senior MP to go and talk to and to debrief with. In my first term here, I leaned a lot on Inese Galloway and Michael Wood, who are both personal friends, and it was just great to go and debrief with them.
Yeah, it's just someone else.
Just someone to go walk into their office and go, oh my goodness.
This place sucks.
Yeah. I think the other stress and strain that comes with the job, which people don't really realise is, well, maybe they do realise it, but it's the amount of vitriol that comes over social media. You know, we have to be present on social media. It's part of the job these days. But there's a whole lot of nastiness that gets directed our way as well. So that's difficult. And then emails that come in, because people can find us and they'll send us quite nasty emails. And in some ways, you just brush it off. But every now and again, it will get to you. And you go, why do people say that? Or there'll be something going on, a controversy going on about MPs in some way. And you can see it's driven by people not understanding what the job is like. But that doesn't stop the sort of the metaphorical yelling and shouting on social media. You know, I've seen some pretty nasty stuff directed at women. I've seen nasty stuff directed at men too, but women seem to get it worse, and Māori women and Pacifica women and ethnic women seem to get it worse than white women.
The party whip is a port of call for an MP who may need help. In the government's case, its chief whip is Coromandel MP Scott Simpson.
Coming into Parliament as an MP can be quite a shock to many people. For instance, Parliament's got its own unusual rhythm and timetable, and it has an unusual sitting calendar that requires people to be at Parliament and in Wellington for nearly 40 weeks of the year. That can be quite a challenge to people who are maybe not used to regular travel, who are not used to being away from their family or their personal support network. So, yeah, it certainly does have its challenges. But there is quite a lot of support, and certainly I think these days parties understand that and put in place as best they can the kind of support and robust systems that will ensure that people can get on with the job as best they can.
So in your party, for instance, do you have people who are there to provide pastoral support, mentoring?
Yeah, so some of that occurs by process of what we call the whip's office. I'm the chief whip, I have a junior whip, and we have a third whip as well, and that's by dint of the numbers that we have in Parliament, so there is a degree of proportionality to it. Yes, pastoral care is very much part of the role of the whip's office, and by that it means that we're constantly talking and listening to colleagues about some of those situations that they might be facing personally, professionally, or politically. And those are the sorts of challenges that I guess happen probably in any workplace these days. So from that aspect, Parliament's not unusual. What is unusual is that if you make a mistake or something goes horribly wrong, then the glare of public scrutiny is unyielding.
You've got a lot of new MPs as well.
Yeah, we have. We've got a big caucus. We've got 49 MPs, 21 of whom are essentially new MPs, and we are a team. Politics is, from my point of view, essentially all about the numbers. First rule of politics, learn to count. 123 member parliament. The government needs a minimum of 62 votes to pass its legislation, and the primary role of the whip and the whip's office is to ensure the passage of government legislation. So everything flows from that, including care, pastoral care, empathy, understanding, and where needed, support for MPs to make sure that we keep the numbers, keep the team together, and keep focus on the objectives and the goals of the government, and maybe we did in past generations.
Do you think the Parliament system could better resource MPs or parties for the MPs to be able to better balance the work-life load?
Look, there's probably always an opportunity to improve, but it's been my personal experience, actually, that Parliament as a workplace provides a lot of support and a lot of assistance for MPs. often it's up to the MP, the individual, whether they choose to take advantage of that support network or the facilities and resources that are available either through the parliamentary services system or indeed through political parties providing support for their own MPs and caucus members.
MPs need to be able to feel comfortable and safe reaching out for help in the first place, whether that be to a fellow MP, a mentor or a party whip. Matt Ducey, who was also National's senior whip in the last parliament, says every whip has their own style.
And I suppose when I think back about my own journey with my mental health issues, working in mental health myself before getting into parliament, you know, I was aware, I probably have a level of awareness that helps me think about where my colleagues are at and how I can support them if they choose they'd like me to help them. And I suppose personally, I you know, have a level of understanding where my mental health is at and are confident I have the strategies in place to support myself when I need it. But of course, not everyone is at that level of understanding or awareness or education and knowledge. And I think there is a part to play in Parliament, like any workplaces, how we make sure we raise mental health and wellbeing in the workplace and give people the skills and strategies to put in place when they need it.
Yeah.
I've been really encouraged what I've seen over the last few years being here, especially the cross-party mental health group. I set that up with Lewis Wall from Labor at the time, Chloe Swarbrick and the Greens, who's now chairing that group. You know, we genuinely believe not only do we have differences as parties, but there's a lot of commonalities. And if we can agree long-term policy settings in mental health, irrespective of the three-year cycle, then we're really going to drive it forward, and I'm quite excited about that.
Parliament wasn't always a place where people could get mental health support and pastoral care. Things have improved in this space, but there's still work to do. The final word goes to Scott Simpson.
There's a lot of talking, a lot of listening, actually. Sometimes the listening's more important than the talking. And again, I think that's not necessarily any different to any other workplace environment or situation. Often we are quick to talk and not very quick to listen. And sometimes the listening is every bit as important as anything that we might say or do.
And on that note, thanks for listening to The House, a programme made possible with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Kia pai tōrā.